The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 137. And John, what are we calling it?
Seven Swords.
That is right. Seven Swords. We get into a great discussion about that. We both really liked it. It surprised us. We don't have to give away what the surprise was. Let people get to check out to hear what the surprise was in Seven Swords.
That's why the milk's at the back of the store, DJ.
That's right. We're supposed to be teasing them here. We're teasing them good. Yeah. And John has some... We start off with spoiler-free Loki talk. And we end with tons of spoilers on Loki. Speculation, because there is tons. And it is actually sprinkled throughout the show, and you guys won't know it. You'll find out in Kryptonite what we're talking about, but John has some good speculation that maybe you guys already know, because as this comes out, Loki's already out, yeah. So who knows? But we had a blast with that. Lot of good books this week. Lot of great covers this week in FOC. Some fantastic covers, so be sure to check that out, and you can check that out on YouTube.
All 17 of you.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, let's get into the store, John.
All right.
Hey, Johnny Two Left Feet, how we doing?
Doing great, man. How are you?
I'm
doing all right.
Getting good grades?
I'm doing all right with my two left feet.
Yeah, doing all right there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, how are things going? Store sounds busy, John.
I know. I hear all the people. I don't see all the people, but I hear all the people.
Hey, just play along. Maybe. Hey, if you keep... My sister the other day was saying having a vision board has changed her life.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do.
Isn't it just a board you just stare at? Like you pin things to it that you want?
Yeah, you pin like your goals and
right.
Like your things you hope for. And then, yes, you just stare at them. And hopefully the act of staring at them will make those things happen for you. No other action is required. You just have to look at it after you put them on the board. And all those things will happen.
So. I love that. No other action is required. So actually having a vision board, if you take it literally, can actually be detrimental to you achieving right. The things you want on that board.
Exactly, because I'm spending all my time staring at the board instead of doing things.
Yeah, exactly. But she's very successful. She's done very well. She's gotten the promotions that she wanted to get, or the promotion she wanted to get, all from the board. And I looked at her and went, I think it's because of all the work you do when you're not staring at the board is why you
stuff. I don't know if the board had anything to do with it, but...
Right, but... Yeah. No, I don't know. I was thinking of getting one.
Good.
She's doing well, yeah, so I was like, it's got to be something.
I'm going to get one, too, and I'm going to... tape a winning lottery ticket to it, and I'm just going
right.
to stare at it and see.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows? Who knows? Hang on. Yep, we're good. Something would sound funny here. Anyways, all right.
Actually, we're not good. You're cutting in and out, like, every
Am
few
I?
Seconds. Yeah.
Well, you're doing the same. Let's just power through and see what happens.
Okay.
Because I know on my end, I'm recording. I'm fine. You're not. You're fine, too. So hopefully things are going well.
Okay.
Let me know if you didn't hear something I said. Because now you haven't...
Well, I'll just say it's just so that we actually could hear it so we could respond to each other.
Right. But, exactly. So,
hey, as long as we're recording, we're good. We don't have to speak at all.
Yeah. Now you actually have an excuse. Sorry, DJ, I didn't get that. It's not that you weren't paying attention.
No, you're cutting out, man. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah, you want to hit on Loki quick like we did last week? We'll lead off with that. And I'm very interested to hear, spoiler free, what your take on the second episode was. After, like...
Well,
all right, go ahead.
I thought the second episode was better than the first one. You know, I honestly, like, it moved the story forward, and you know, it did things where I don't feel like the first episode really did. So I think now we're kind of entrenched into the story and what we're going to get for the next four episodes or so. And
I know, huh? Four episodes.
I liked it a lot. Like, yeah, I thought it was really good. So
that is so funny. I mean, what is this, a yin and yang podcast? Because I'm the opposite.
Did you not like it?
I still loved it. But I felt like it was a dip down. I didn't feel like it didn't have the gravitas of the first one.
Well, it didn't have glorious purpose, I guess. But I guess you prefer the clip. Like, what you really liked was all the clips of all the other stuff you've already seen.
Well,
all episode one was.
Well, there was something to be said for that, yes. Because I did like the clips because they're jumping through time of the MCU. So they're setting that. Right. And like I said last week, now they're going to jump through other times. But now, you know what I mean? Now we know what is going on and what abilities they have. And story-wise, you're right. Episode 2, that's what I loved about it, is the story really progressed a lot, to your point. Right. I just didn't feel like it had as much action to it, as much fun. It was way more character and story-driven, which was great. I really enjoyed that. And we'll get into it in Kryptonite and stuff like that.
But I feel like this whole show will be that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that we're going to get a ton of... It's not going to be Falcon Winter Soldier. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is more WandaVision, which was very character-driven and very little action. And I feel like this is probably going to be a similar vein to that all the way through.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's fair. It's funny how we kind of flipped, though. Like, I really liked one, and I thought two was really good. And you thought two was really good, and really, I mean, thought one was really good, and loved two. So, that's us.
I still don't know that, you know, again, we're only, at this point, a third of the way through it. So, I still don't know that it's, for me, as good as WandaVision. But... You know, again, it remains to be seen. There's definitely potential here for a lot of things to happen.
Well, yeah, they have access to everything.
Right. I say in a lot of lasting changes to the MCU possible when we get out of this. So,
yeah,
it'd be really interesting to see.
Right.
You know, like, the thing that'll be most interesting to see is if we get to episode 6 and the variant is allowed to exist. Because, like, if he is still alive, basically, at the end of episode 6, what does that mean for the MCU?
Well,
you
know we could talk about that in Kryptonite, because there's...
No, I know, but that's all spoiler-free.
Yeah, so, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. No, I'm interested in talking about that, because that's a great point. That's a great question, so we will get to that. Hey, how was your Father's Day?
It was great.
Yeah?
How about you?
Good. Yeah. Good. Really good. Had a really good time. John, I got in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, yeah.
And this weekend, I decided to install a car stereo into my Mazda, Joe and I.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was,
okay.
So, remember when we used to do that, and there was a left channel, the right channel, and the front and the rear, and if you wanted to go crazy, you could add an amplifier and maybe a couple more speakers, which also had a left and a right. So, that meant, you know... Just for four speakers, you have 8 connections because you have a negative and a positive on each.
Right.
Well, I know my Mazda is a 2005, but it's an RX-8, highly computerized, lots of crap going on.
It's like one button or like one cord?
No, it's just a million of them. And it's and it's got steering wheel controls, and you got to connect this, and you got to connect that, and it's like, oh, just drill through the firewall. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I was pulling my – I started on Saturday. My intention was to start on Saturday, finish it up on Sunday morning, and be able to take it on Father's Day, because Jen and I take the car out now for drives, and – Right. It's fun. But the reason I wanted one is because, like, I had the little, you know, thing to plug it in you plug it into your cigarette lighter and it
right
for
and
your
can
phone
listen to your phone
right, right because it only has a CD player and who has CDs nowadays right
right
so I'm like oh I'll get an Apple Play stereo so I got a Sony because that was my first CD player it was a Sony in my Beretta back in the 90s
right
so I got a Sony and really nice really enjoyed it but Saturday tearing my hair out. I'm like, I got it from Crutchfield, sponsor of the show. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. Yeah.
No, no.
Let me pick that name up off the floor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were great. I called them twice with a couple of issues. Saturday, I was like fit to be tied. Sunday morning, got up, started at 8 o'clock. Joe was going to help me at 8 o'clock, and I didn't wake him. I was just in case I got in a bad mood. By 10 o'clock, all done. Worked out great. Yeah. One little piece, there's always something, right? One little piece just won't lock into place, so it's kind of a little cockeyed, so I've got to fix that. But we took it, worked great, had a great day, but it was, I mean, it was easy 20 years ago.
Well, it used to be, yeah.
It used to be a lot easier.
You used to just buy those like install kits, and it was just like one plug that plugged into the back of the stereo.
Well, that's what this is,
like,
too.
That was it, you know?
Yeah, not so much. Not so much. And I installed a backup camera on it. That was difficult, too. So,
yeah.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. And not to mention it was like hot and humid, too. So,
yeah.
Dripping. But it was fun. But then Sunday we had a great time. Joe gave me this.
Yeah, Cobra Kai. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, my t-shirt. And I opened the gift and I was like, oh no. Am I getting old and they tell me I'm out of shape and I gotta get I thought they joined a enrolled me in a gym.
They signed you up to a,
to a gym.
To a judo class.
Oh, no. I was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, no, cool. Cobra Kai. I'll wear that. Yeah, that's cool. So yeah, unfortunately.
What was the other one? Like Venom Fang Karate or something?
Eagle
like
Fang.
Eagle Fang, yeah.
Eagle Fang.
That's the one you need.
Yeah.
Eagle Fang, which makes no sense at all.
I know. That's hysterical. Yeah. So. Yeah. So what did you do? Did you put a stereo in your Corolla?
No. You know, my solution to all of those headaches is just to pay somebody to do that stuff. I drop my car off.
Where's the fun in that? And then
the fun is not spending a day and a half sweating and cursing trying to put a stereo in. It's just I drop it off and I pick it up
Money
and I turn
bags.
The radio on. Well, not that, but my sanity is worth a certain amount of money to me.
Yeah,
we went out to breakfast. We, you know, normal breakfast in the morning with my mom. We do every Sunday. And then my daughter and my new granddaughter came over to the house for a few hours in the afternoon. I got to spend some time with them. And then in the evening, went out to dinner again with the kids. My daughter had, Angela had to work, but she's a server at a restaurant. So we went and had dinner there so that I could at least see her on Father's Day. And the restaurant allowed her to be our waitress, which I didn't think they would do, but they did. So I thought it was ironic that on Father's Day my daughter served me dinner, but then I had to pay her at the end for doing it. I gave her like how do you tip your daughter, right? Like
right.
I gave her like a 30% tip on the bill because it's like it's
yeah,
my daughter.
That's
so
I know. That's funny because it's so counterintuitive.
Like, that's weird. Yeah, that's
on
weird.
On Father's Day.
You know, it was great when she kept bringing me beer and sausage, but at the end I had to like give her a big tip. So
Yeah, that is funny. I mean, you could say Did you make a joke to her? Did you say, like, I'm not going to tip you because it's Father's Day?
I'm not tipping you. Happy Father's Day to me.
To me, yeah. So, yeah, that is tough. I mean, but it is kind of – it would have been weird to have somebody else and watch your daughter serving somebody.
Well, yeah, but most places don't let family serve you.
Really?
Like, you know, like
why?
If you go
– You'd think you'd have less issues.
Well, they think that they'll do things dishonestly. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she won't charge me for a couple of beers or, you know, like, even when we worked at Bed Bath & Beyond and stuff, like, I couldn't go Lydia's store and have her be my cashier or whatever. You know, they just don't allow
it. Oh, yeah, stuff. Cashier, yeah.
You know?
Because, I could see that.
Just to kind of ward off any impropriety that might happen.
Yeah.
But they were cool with it, yeah, because we actually started with another server. And then she came over and said, oh, I thought they'd sit you in my section, and I'm going to go talk to that guy and switch tables with him. And then she did, and she came over. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was cool. And like I said, my other daughter and her boyfriend was there, my wife and my mom. So
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. I would never even think to do that. Get me an extra beer. Don't chat. I'm like,
well, because that's the thing. It's like in a, not everybody thinks the same way.
Right.
But like my thinking is like, am I going to jeopardize my daughter's job to get a drink or something? You know what I mean? It's like, I looked at the bill twice just to make sure everything was on there.
Right.
It was like, make sure you charge me.
Plus,
for everything.
Plus,
you
want to make sure your daughter's not double charging you. To get that tip a little higher.
She wants a bigger tip.
It doesn't bother me, especially restaurants. I've known too many people that own restaurants. I'm friends with them, and it's like, I know how hard that business is. I'm just like, whatever the tab is, here you go.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I would never do that.
Yeah.
I think companies just put blanket policies.
That's smart. It's smart because it takes out any kind of a conflict of interest, so.
Exactly.
You don't have to deal with it. But All right. Are you ready to get... I still haven't thought of... What did we say?
I don't know because I wasn't in love with it, so yeah, I didn't really remember it.
Chatting news, news to chat.
You were all excited in the open last week
that
we had a new name for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not sold yet on that. So.
I heard it back. I'm like... It couldn't have been too good if I don't remember what it was.
Exactly.
Something like news to chat about. I don't know. Comic news. You ready to get the breaking news?
How about like trending topics or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know. We'll think of something. But anyways, it's the news.
Language going on.
There you go. I was going to say, how come you get to say that? I better hear Captain America.
Ah, you will. That's why I put
that. That's all I got to say.
That's why I put that in there. So, all right.
Otherwise, like, God help you next week.
Yeah.
You'll be hitting that button a lot.
All right. Let's get to Language. Talk about.
All right. All right. Zach Studen, which is a name that you probably are not familiar with because I was not familiar with him, but this gentleman has been hired on to be the new lead of studio entertainment division for AWA. And the only reason why I felt like this was noteworthy is that AWA has developed a studio entertainment division. So it looks like they are going to have... somebody in charge of getting their properties in development for, TV and movie deals.
So okay.
I thought that was pretty exciting because I like most of what AWA has been doing.
Oh, yeah.
And love to see some of that stuff make its way to either series or movies. So I thought that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, did you hear...
Much more so than the name of the guy that's doing it because...
Right.
I don't know who he is, but...
Did you hear... TLDR talked to what's his name? I can't remember who it was from AWA.
I didn't hear
the interview.
Oh, but it's really Axel good. Alonso.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Axel Alonso, is from AWA. Yeah, I heard them talking about it on TLDR later in the week, but I didn't hear the actual interview.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. So, check it out. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hates Star Wars.
I heard that, yes. There's something else, too.
But
Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. He doesn't like either one of them.
Right. What was really funny, I was talking to Dr. Joe about it, and he was, he's giving me the description of him, and I'm like, he sounds just like me, because he doesn't like fantasy stuff, which technically, I've been saying that since we started this podcast. Unfortunately, I keep put my foot in my mouth because I keep liking
right,
stuff.
Right, because you keep liking fantasy stuff.
Fantasy stuff. So, but,
right.
But most of, like, when I was younger, I'd say, it would be not a non-starter, but I'd be like, I don't know if I really like that. But Star Wars, I never considered it a fantasy type thing. You know, because it was a movie. It was something that I love to see. So that was, but I get it. It's part of a fantasy genre. But like
it is.
Lord
it's
of the
sci-fi fantasy,
right?
Yeah.
But so. Lord of the Rings, I never read them, and it's right. not something I would choose to read. Comic books is a little different. Short form, you know, better shot of grabbing me. Whereas you try to get into a book. It's a little bit more
difficult.
Well,
and Lord of the Rings is a commitment, you know. It's,
oh,
I
yeah.
mean, The Hobbit's not bad. It's 250, 280 pages, you know. It's
yeah.
fairly short.
But they still made
but
three
the
movies
Lord of the
out
Rings,
of
the, well, yeah, which is amazing because they made three movies. They made like 10 hours worth of movies out of 300 pages.
Yeah.
And each Lord of the Rings book, which is 300 to 400 pages, gets a... Now, granted, each movie is like 72 hours long, but... They basically got one movie per book. So,
right. Yeah.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a commitment to read the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but they're great. Great books. So.
But speaking of the Star Wars, because, you know, this is the Star Wars podcast.
Exactly.
I was talking, remember last week I told you about my home theater listener that said he's never seen Star Wars, and you and I were like, oh, he's probably younger, hasn't seen, he's older than us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got back to me, he heard my podcast, he's like, oh, yeah, he goes, I wish I was as young as you think I am. He was 16 when the movie came out, when Star Wars came
so
out.
He's like 60 now, roughly?
Yeah, he's 9 years older than us. So, yeah, so he saw the, like... He didn't want to see it. So all I can think is it just didn't grab him at the time. He was at that age where...
Well, yeah, 16, cool, too cool for school, and, you know, it's girls and cars. And
right. You know, not being dorky like us, which wasn't considered dorky. We were little kids.
Right. But at 16, wasn't I was until still watching Star Wars.
Right. That's when you become dorky. So he avoided all that and has...
He just skipped that phase.
Right.
But so, he's had 42 years in the meantime to...
And he says he doesn't like
rectify
it.
Rectify his mistake.
He started it and it hasn't grabbed him. So good for him. I told him on Twitter, I said, well, you are a unicorn. Because I know plenty of people that have seen it and not liked it, but not many people that, especially home theater people. There's probably a ton of people that have never seen it and have zero interest. But as a home theater fan, that is rare. So I called him a unicorn. So that is our Star Wars minute for this minute.
There you go.
There'll be another one, I'm sure, to follow.
Yeah, there'll be another minute later.
Right. All right, let's move on to another great character I love to follow along with.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't do a lot of actual comic book news here, and so I thought this, you know, would be something to talk about, because we actually previously did an entire show on this, but Nick Spencer is ending his run on The Amazing Spider-Man in September, so, you know, Nick Spencer took over like 3 years ago or so, 4 years, well, had to be like 3 years ago, because it was...
This is the run that we've been reading since we started,
right?
Yeah, it's
the run that we're reading now, yes. You know, when we did a show on the early part of this run way back, it was one of our first shows.
One of our first shows, right. Yeah, we love this run. We love the beginning. Yeah.
So, you know, it's had its ups and downs over the course of the last couple years. I'm not going to say it's all been gold. But by and large, I've enjoyed what he's done, and he brought back some of the classic elements to Peter's story, so no word yet on what Nick is moving on to or who is moving on to take over Spider-Man, but just figured we'd announce that out.
Actually have some comic book news.
Because like I said, we don't actually talk about comic book news too often, and there's always stuff that comes up, and it just doesn't seem to make the headlines too often, so.
Right, well, I think we should effort to make it a headline.
Yeah, at least have one item in each week.
You'll start seeing it everywhere. Brightside
should be related. We should have comic book news on our comic book podcast, I would think.
That would be fun. Well, it's whatever happens in the store. So if that happens, it happens. All right. What are we moving on to? Oh, look at the looky.
Yeah,
looky. We all know this one, but yeah.
We did, but well, because we kind of debated this a little bit last week, though. Yeah, it looks like Disney Plus is officially claiming Wednesday for all of their new releases going forward.
Yeah.
So this will not affect like the remainder of the season for The Bad Batch, for instance. But when season two rolls around, it will be a Wednesday release. So, you know, we thought that we might get like Wednesday for Marvel, Friday for Star Wars and things like that. But it looks like that's not going to be the case. So Book of Boba Fett, you know, anything coming from Marvel, looks like Wednesday is going to be our day. So I kind of like that, actually.
Middle of the week.
There's plenty of, yeah, there's plenty of stuff that shows up on Fridays and Sundays to watch
right
from all the streamers, you know. Not much happens in the middle of the week. So I kind of like having that to look forward to on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Although I don't ever see any of it until Thursday, usually. So.
Hey, yeah, well, but I'd it's say, there. You
know, I take that back. I take it back because now that we're not recording on Wednesday nights,
oh, yeah, that's
I have
right
watched
too, yeah.
Loki. I've watched Loki the last couple of weeks. So.
Yeah.
It actually works out.
So does that mean Bad Batch is the last Friday release?
I think there's one more Pixar show that they have already committed to Friday. I thought that was part of the article, but okay. I don't recall exactly. But yeah.
Monsters at Work is going to be the first one. That's the image that I have up here. It's the
new... going to Wednesday?
Mm-hmm. It's at the,
okay, well, maybe that's what it, okay, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that, I guess maybe they moved it from Friday to Wednesday like they did with Loki. So
maybe. Yeah.
So well, then, yeah, I know I they guess did, the Bad yeah. Batch.
They actually.
Yeah, I guess the Bad Batch will be the last one.
If I remember right, they actually moved this one from the 2nd to the 9th. Or some not the 9th, the following week. They moved it, oh, the 2nd to the 7th.
So they kind of pushed it back.
They pushed
but they
it,
went
yeah.
from Friday to Wednesday.
Yeah, they okay. went to the following Wednesday instead of moving it up a day. So you're like, yeah, right. the 2nd. Oh, crap, another week. So, oh, well. But yeah, no, I think I do like that on Wednesdays because it breaks your week up a little bit more. This Fridays are
yeah,
always
I think so too.
I mean, I always found time on Friday mornings anyways, but to right. be able to get something on a Wednesday, it, even if you do, like you said, if you don't watch it, it's still there because Fridays are great anyways. We don't need content to make Fridays great. Fridays are Fridays. It's the weekend, you know.
Well, yeah, and like, you know, my wife and I usually have date night on Friday night,
right.
so we'll go out to dinner and if there's a movie around, we'll go, you know, we'll go to the movies, but you know, we usually go out on Friday nights, at least to dinner, and, you know, we're out till 8:30, 9 o'clock, so, you know, it's harder to watch Friday night shows.
John, I wonder if that's their line of thinking.
It might
with
be.
With COVID,
you know.
COVID being, you know, we're hopefully nearing the end of this, hopefully there's no
they,
other
They heard
surge.
It was our date night. So.
Well, not your date night, but that's the night movies are released. So why would you have,
right.
you know what I mean? So like you do these on Wednesdays, we have Wednesdays taken care of. Thursdays, that's if you're going to take in a new release, you know.
It, yeah, I'd say Thursday's new release day for me because I've got my tickets to Black Widow already for
exactly,
Thursday night.
Exactly, same here. So. And it's like you go on that Thursday night, but Friday night, like you said, that's a movie night. You go out on Friday
yeah.
night. So.
Right.
That's why a lot of, you know, what is it, network TV back in the day, like there wasn't much
yeah,
on
Yeah, they
Friday
never had
nights.
Anything on Friday yeah. and Saturday nights,
no.
you know. It was always Sunday nights and then
Sunday,
you know,
Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays
Monday
were the comedies
Thursday,
yeah.
yeah,
we had, but
right.
but yeah, so maybe that's
a bunch
their
of
line
reruns
of thinking.
And crap on Fridays.
yeah.
until TGIF came around and then that turned everything
right.
on its head.
I think Chips was on Fridays though. But that was,
oh, was
I think it was because
well,
I used
of
to
Hazzard was always Friday
Chips,
nights too.
Dukes of Hazzard. I used to watch those yeah. with my dad, and that was before, obviously, I was going anywhere. I was too young to go anywhere on a Friday night. So.
Right.
But all right. This next one's long overdue.
Yeah, I was going to say this long overdue, and I'm actually was really surprised that it hadn't already happened.
I know.
It looks like Carrie Fisher is set to receive her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So, yeah, it amazes me that hadn't already happened.
Exactly.
But yeah, she'll be joining Mark Hamill and everybody else from Star Wars who are already there. So,
yeah,
I think that's, again, just long overdue. And, you know, for what it's worth, like, you know, for people that really put any stock into that kind of thing. But, you know, it is, I guess, one of the things that you kind of aspire to when you're in show business. So
I know. Hopefully we'll get ours someday.
So, yeah, at some point, you know, she'll be able to have, like, gum smeared all over her.
Yep.
People spitting on her and, you know, dumping their hot dog wrappers all over her. So can't wait for that to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, this one here kind of catches me by surprise.
Yeah, because I feel like this is now earlier than...
Yeah.
I was expecting it.
That's what I mean.
Although it's earlier, but a year later.
Right.
But
well,
Titans season three. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Go ahead. We're sitting here talking about it, and we haven't said anything. We haven't said what it was yet.
Titans season. Well, we always preface everything with a little blur before we get to it. So Titans season three has set its premiere date on HBO Max for August 12th. And I did see after the fact, I didn't put it in these notes, but they're dropping three episodes on the 12th.
All right.
So
it's a six-episode season, but all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's drop like 50% of the season.
No, they're usually
on opening day.
They're like 10 to 12 sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah, it should
be. They're longer, like the old Netflix ones.
Should be a little bit longer, but yeah, so that's actually not that far away. August 12th.
I know.
You know, basically a month and a half from now.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's a month after my birthday.
Look at that.
Yeah. Very excited.
Two things to celebrate.
Woohoo!
So, yeah.
No, I was really excited. I hadn't seen it until I got your notes, and I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. August, because...
Yeah, it's like right around the corner, so...
You know what's funny? We called it. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Because season one came out in October...
Right.
Season two came out in September the following year.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were talking about it recently, a few months back, and we're like, well, this one's got to come out in August because they keep bumping a month ahead. Granted, it's a year late, like you said, but it's still, they're following their pattern. So season four, we'll call it now.
Should be July. All right.
So
it's been recorded, so.
Yep. Pop quiz, John. When season five coming out?
For posterity. So,
no, did you hear me?
June. Yeah.
No.
It would be June of 23.
Yep.
If all stays.
Well, we can't mark the year because obviously they're skipping around here. But yeah. So there you go.
Well, hopefully we don't have another COVID year. It will be
true. True. I honestly don't know if COVID affected that because they hadn't started filming at the time of COVID either. Back then.
Well, but I think it probably just delayed when they would have started.
I still think it would have been I honestly think this was their plan all along. Similar to Mandalorian, I think their plan was get two seasons in, take a year off, develop a couple more, come back to that one. Keep people guessing and entertained. It's not like we haven't found other things to watch.
I was going to say, but the problem is all the other stuff we found to watch were not HBO Max properties.
True.
Or Disney. So,
true. Very true.
All they did was open the door for Disney to sneak in. So.
And this wasn't HBO Max back in the day. This was...
No, it wasn't. You know, DC Universe.
DC Universe in 4K with Dolby Atmos.
Yeah.
And now
we're going to get it on HBO Max and it won't be in 4K or Dolby Atmos.
I don't know yet. I don't know because they are releasing
I don't know
stuff
yet
in
either.
4K
they
with Atmos. But
yeah, they haven't said, but...
Yeah.
But like the latest thing that I watched on there, which was Mayor of Easttown, it was not 4K or Atmos. So,
no. Well, that one really doesn't need the Atmos.
No, it doesn't. But if you have that technology,
right,
use it.
You know? Exactly. All right. I got a couple here.
Okay.
Hell freezes over. Speaking of Netflix, Steven Spielberg's Amblin Partners in deal to make movies for Netflix.
I saw that.
So we talked about it on this podcast many times. Grumpy old man, get off my lawn. Those aren't movies. You know, those aren't movies. Right. They're on Netflix. They need to be seen in a big screen. Nobody listened to him. So he's like, all right, can't beat him, join him.
Right.
So I think that's pretty cool. And he's, I mean, going over there, but he's still going to be making his movies for Universal too. Multi-year, right. Multi-project deal too. So multiple things coming to Netflix from him each year. So that should be cool. Right. Let's see. Next one. Oh, message from Doc. Says, at Brightside underscore chat and at Arkham Comics. More puns, please. Ha ha. In regards to Sweet Tooth, there is no doubt that it's a great show, but I just can't separate the two. Usually I have no problem with that, but I love the comic series so much. Maybe one day I'll get there. So, yeah, he can't, like what you were saying last week, how you can separate and really enjoy both entities. He doesn't like the show as much as...
Well, I think it's because I watched the show first.
Right, that's true.
So I had no frame of reference.
Right. That's always the preferred
way. Going back and reading the comic afterwards, it doesn't make me dislike the show any, you know.
Right.
Any, but I definitely see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard him talk about it again on TLDR last week. And yeah, he's just not digging it at all. So, but again, I understand where he's coming from. Now, I haven't read any more of it. I've still only read the first trade paperback.
But yeah,
I know what he's talking about, and like I said, the character motivations being so different. I completely, I know where he's coming from.
Right. So. Yep. So, all right, that's all I have. That's so. Are you ready to get to some comic books for this week?
Sure.
All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. First book we have is Batman Reptilian, number one. Did you stop that early? Because
no.
Music usually goes longer than that.
Yeah, it's still going.
Okay. I can't hear it anymore.
It's there.
Okay.
You want me to do it again? Here you go.
No, you're fine.
There's the music.
All right. Batman Reptilian, issue number one. There's a 1 in 25 Bill Sienkiewicz variant that looks like it's seeing a little bit of extra interest, selling for right around $30. So just a little bit over ratio on that one. Bitter Root, number 14. There's a Juneteenth variant for this that's selling for between $10 and $15. Gamma Flight, issue number one. I guess there's a Where the Wild Things Are homage cover.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the 1 in 25 variant. I didn't order enough to get this, but it's selling for between $40 and $45, so almost double ratio.
It's one of those things that, like, if nobody ever told you what it was, you just look, everybody knows. You just know that,
right.
You know that style, that sketchy style of drawing. It's like, I mean, right. The characters look like the Wild Things, the enlarged heads and stuff. You check it out. Definitely check. Go to our YouTube and you'll be able to see it.
I'll see it later.
He just sounded like Foghorn. I'm going like, I'll see you later.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
All righty. All right, go ahead.
Marvel Voices Pride, issue number one. Looks like there's a 1 in 25 Vecchio variant for this that's selling for between $75 and $100. So that's pretty crazy for a 1 in 25 variant to be that high. There's two 1 in 50 Phil Jimenez variants that are doing well, but those are selling for about $80. So,
yeah.
You know, the 1 in 50 is $80. The 1 in 25 is $100.
Yeah.
So it's not so much the ratio as much as the cover itself, I imagine.
Right.
Because in theory, there should be twice as many of the 1 in 25s out there as there are the 1 in 50s.
You'd think.
So yeah. You'd think.
I
don't know math very well, but I think that's the way it works.
No, I actually like the 1 in 25 a lot. It looks really nice. It's with all the characters, are, you know, framing out the cover. But then the 1/50s are they're wraparounds, but they're just they're kind of relatively plain compared to the 1/25.
Compared to the 1/25.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's got to be more the image than the ratio,
right?
And then I guess this issue also features the first appearance of a character called Somnus.
Oh,
so
okay.
This could garner some additional interest for the even just the regular covers.
Yeah.
So might be one to pick up. Cool. All right. MFKZ. I'll let you guys figure out on your own what that is supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah.
This is new from Behemoth Comics, but it looks like there's a 1 in 10 Garbage Pail Kids homage cover that's selling for about $30. Yep. So also one to pick up.
Nailed
if your store ordered enough copies of these.
But they nailed that cover, too, for the homage.
Yeah,
to
it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. It looks like one of the cards. Remember, we used to collect the cards.
Oh, and, I do.
Yeah, Cyberpuke, I think is Cyberpuke 2076 is the name, and he's it's gross. Looks just like them. Looks like just like it. Pretty cool.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Silk number 4. There's a Jenny Frisson incentive variant here. Mm-hmm. I believe it's the 1/25. It's not in the notes, but I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
And it's selling for about $50 at the moment, so pretty much double ratio.
It's a nice
on
cover.
That. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that climb even higher. Jenny Frisson's covers are pretty popular.
Yeah.
And then there's a Spider-Man villain variant that might also see some interest. As of right now, it's not selling for anything above cover price, but
okay,
definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yep. There's a lot of covers killing the for children. Silk this week. There's quite a few covers.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, and there's quite a few nice ones too.
Yeah, and Silk has been a good series.
Yes.
I know I've mentioned it before, but I like the character a lot. So I've been enjoying that.
Yep. Enjoying that one. Up next.
Okay, Something is Killing the Children, number 17.
Is that a new
book? The 1/25. Yeah, I hadn't heard too much about this one.
Some new up-and-coming writer.
Yeah. Tynan guy? I don't know. Tinin, I can't even say it. Never mind.
Tinfoilian? Something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, there's a 1/25 variant here selling for between $30 and $35. So not too much over ratio, especially for this book where those ratios tend to soar over time. So.
Another cool looking cover. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Sonage the Hedgehog 30th anniversary special came out. You know, we're usually talking about the 1/10 variants for the Sonic books being double ratio. In this case, the 1/10 is selling for between $40 and $50. The 1/25 variant, I guess your guess is as good as mine because there's not one for sale on eBay currently. Midtown had theirs listed for $50, but that seems low.
Considering I couldn't even get an image. So
yeah, the 1/10 is selling for between $40 and $50. So, yeah, good luck finding one, but if you can, it might be worth grabbing. Spawn Universe,
cool.
Number 1. Yeah, the 1/50 variant here is doing crazy already at $100, so double ratio for that.
It's awesome cover. Sketch.
Yeah, it is a really cool. Yeah, awesome. It's like the Blue Line comic page cover, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Stray Dogs number 1 has gone to a third printing and it is selling for between $9 and $15. We're going to talk about this book a little bit later, but Stray Dogs is like it's like catching fire all of a sudden.
Yeah. Did they get optioned or something?
It must have. I don't remember talking about it, but yeah, we'll talk about it again in back issue bonus here in just a minute. Okay. And then last but not least, we have Web of Spider-Man issue number 2. This is kind of what happens when you have to FOC issue 2 of what you think is going to be a bad series before number 1 comes out.
Right.
You usually don't order a lot of them. And that shows here because this is now selling for about $20 just for the regular cover.
Yeah.
Because I know I ordered really low on it. Number one took off because it was a spec book. It had a first appearance that had a lot of people looking for it. And so, yeah, this is all on Marvel. Do your FOC right, and you won't have things
over
like this
the years.
Happen.
You've said that a lot about Marvel. They don't give you a heads up on how popular they speculate something could be. It doesn't give you.
There's that for issue one, right? And that was definitely the case. But there's just no excuse when you have a monthly book and you're having the FOC an issue before the prior issue has hit the stands.
Right.
It's just, like I said, there's no reason for this to have had to happen. With no knowledge, retailers are going to be conservative on these things and order low, and that's what happened here. So, if you can find one on the stands at cover price, it's worth a grab. So,
yeah.
That is it for Speculator Roundup.
All right. All right, John. That's it. Time to get to your favorite sounder of the week. Let's get to
it. Is
back issue bonus.
All right. So Usagi Yojimbo number 20. This came out last week, and this started jumping kind of right after we recorded last week. I saw it Thursday morning, actually. But this is the first appearance of Yukichi Yamamoto. I don't know why that's significant necessarily, but it has taken off. Like, this book is selling for between $20 and $25 for the main cover, and the 1 in 10 has jumped up to $100 already. So,
cool.
I have a feeling this character is going to be important somehow, but I'm not reading Yosagi right now, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but it definitely took off since last week. So hopefully you picked one up last week, because after Wednesday / Thursday morning, they were gone.
So, yeah.
I thought I had one left on Thursday. When I saw the news, I called my store and said, hey, can you pull this and put it aside? And it was already in somebody's hand. Mm-hmm. Dark Reign Young Avengers number one. This is the first appearance of Sylvie Lushton, who is the second Enchantress. And this is up from around $20 to now between $50 and $100. So I have a little speculation on that. We'll talk about later when we talk about Loki.
Ooh. Big market tease there.
I know. The next book is Akira number 38. This is more of just kind of like an FYI for the series in general. But the Epic color printing series that was done a few years ago, I guess, is starting like slowly and steadily rising in price. But this issue in particular was pretty scarce, and a raw copy sold yesterday morning on eBay for $312. So,
wow.
So I would be on the lookout for any of the books in this series specifically, but especially the later issues that are hard to find, because you know this one was a high mark, but even like a 37 or 36, you know, those issues are definitely books to speculate on. So, What If Planet Hulk number one. This is from 2007. This is the first appearance of Scar, and it is selling for between $60 and $80. World War Hulk number five is a Scar cameo. That book is selling for between $40 and $50. So I don't know what's going on with Scar these days. Seems crazy for Scar books, but I guess we're going to see something. I mean, there is a new series getting ready to launch. Immortal Hulk is ending, and Donny Cates has just left Venom, and he's going to be taking over the Hulk. So maybe this is early speculation for that series. I don't know, but
cool.
Definitely. Well, that's something fun to look at.
Yeah,
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe number 19. This is the DC Comics run from 2015. It's a really cool cover. Low print run final issue, so that equals rising prices. This is selling for about $40 right now. So,
All right.
Grab it if you can. Venom, number 9. This was already a hot book, but it got infinitely hotter after last week's issue of Venom was released. This is the first appearance of Dylan Brock, who, spoilers, is now the new Venom. And now this book is $100, and the sky's the limit. Like, this thing is going to, I think, go through the stratosphere over the next year or so. So hopefully you've got your copy already. I think even before last week, it was $40 to $50.
Really?
But yeah, this book is going, I'm calling it now. Like, well, this is a book that we're probably going to talk about multiple times in this segment over the next year or so.
Okay, so keep this one on file. Got it.
Yes.
Got the hint.
And like I said, hopefully you've got it already.
Nope.
Star Wars Darth Maul number 2. This is the first appearance of Cad Bane in comic book form, of course. He really appeared on the TV first. But I guess if you're watching The Bad Batch, you'll know why.
I was going to say, like, we'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
But this one is now selling for about $75. Issue number 3 is his first cover appearance. That one's selling for about $30. There's a second print of number 3 that's selling for about $70. So definitely, again, this caught fire after last week. Another one, I don't know if we talked about this announcement or not, but Disney Plus announced that they're working on an Inquisitors series.
No, we didn't talk about this.
And it's a live-action series, not animated.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So Darth Vader number 6, the 2017 series, is the first appearance of the Inquisitors. And it is now selling for between $50 and $60.
Live-action.
Yeah, I can't believe we missed. Yeah, I can't believe we missed talking about that. A week or two ago, the news broke, so it must have just I must have not saved the headline, and it just flew.
Well,
under
sometimes
the
radar, stuff breaks like right after, and like a week later, we don't get to it. So,
But yeah, I'm really excited that they're making that show, and I guess a lot of other people are too, because this book is worth quite a bit.
There's
now.
A few Star Wars fans out there.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I actually,
one or two.
I actually
not,
know
not,
somebody
not the guy
that
listens to your podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say I know the one guy on the planet that's never seen it.
Right.
So that's got to be a claim to fame.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah.
He's a unicorn, and I know him.
He is. He is a unicorn. Yep. All right. Marvel 2-in-1 number 54. This is the first appearance of Titania. We mentioned this last week. Titania was cast as the villain for the She-Hulk series.
Yep.
Raw copies of this issue are now hitting about $60. Expect that to rise as well as we get closer to the show.
Yeah. Cool.
Green Lantern 25. This is from the 2008 series. This is the first appearance of Atrocitus and Larfleeze. This one spiked a couple of months back, but looks like it's spiking again, and now it's selling for about $45. A lot of speculation surrounding the HBO Max show that they're working on with the Green Lantern Corps. I would expect to see Atrocitus at the minimum in that show. Thor number 5 from 2007. This is the first appearance of Lady Loki, selling for between $40 and $50. Okay, yeah, so here's my tease. Stray Dogs number 1. This book is going nuts all of a sudden. A copy of the A cover, number 1, sold for $70 yesterday. And the Silence of the Lamb variant is starting to hit similar prices. So,
I think I have both of those.
Must have got optioned. I don't remember us talking about this either.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that this book, which is good. It's a good series. We talked about it. I like it. But it's another one of those, which I don't understand why it's $70, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I think I remember buying tracking down the Silence of the Lambs one because that's like one of her all-time favorite movies. She loves that movie.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that'd be fun to have. And, of course, we have the regular issue. So, I mean, that's crazy they're going up like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. All right, and last but not least, Action Comics number 806. Natasha Irons becomes Steel, and that's selling for about $25. Probably has something to do with Lois and Clark series, although I'm not caught up on this week's episode. But if you're watching that show, you know John Henry Irons, who is Steel, features prominently in the story. So we did meet his daughter in a couple of episodes. So maybe there's speculation that
I think you know, you're on to something there, John.
Move forward, yeah. like I said, I haven't seen this week's episode yet, but yeah. I will tomorrow. So, all right,
cool.
That is it for a back issue bonus.
All righty, then let's get to FOC.
All right, for DC, we have variant covers for Catwoman number 33 by Jenny Frisson. I really like this cover a lot.
It's a cool cover, yep.
Yeah, really like it. Legends of the Dark Knight number 3, Jorge Molina. Also a cool cover.
This then, entire FOC has a ton of great covers in it. There's a lot of good covers this week.
There's a bunch of them here. Yeah, similarly, Nightwing 82, Jamal Campbell, is also a really nice cover. As far as new series from DC, we have Blue and Gold number 1. This is going to be an 8-issue miniseries. Features Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. There's 2 covers available for this.
With all the Blue Beetle stuff coming up, this is a good one, I think, for people to jump onto. I have to imagine this. Yes, they're fantastic together. But
yeah, they pair these guys together a lot, and it's always fun to read. So
yeah,
should be really good.
I think that's their intention here too. I think this is going to be a great one to jump on, get familiar with the characters, and.
Because we know there's a Blue Beetle movie in the works for HBO Max. So
yep.
Definitely, if you're not familiar with the character, this would be a good place to jump
in. I know Slade from Friendly Neighborhood was a huge Blue Beetle fan, and that's how I learned what I know about him and read about him. So, because I didn't really read him growing up. I read him off and on.
I'm more of a Blue Beetle fan. Yeah, I don't know as much about Jaime Reyes. I've read a little bit of him, but I read Blue Beetle back in the day when it was, like I said, when it was Ted Kord.
Yeah.
All right. Shazam number 1. This looks like it's going to be a 4-issue miniseries, has 2 covers. So I guess the canceled Shazam series that didn't sell to anybody.
Yeah.
It's coming back as a 4-issue miniseries, which is a shame. I like Shazam and I like that book, but it didn't do very well.
No.
So it's odd that they're bringing this back. But,
right.
And then finally, we have Superman and the Authority, number 1. This is also a 4-issue miniseries, and it also has 2 covers.
All right.
From IDW, we have a book called Bermuda, issue number 1 with multiple covers.
Mm-hmm.
From Image, this is the Amelia Clark book, M.O.M., or Mother of Madness, issue number 1, and this is going to be 3 issues, and this has multiple covers.
That's a cool cover, and then, though, the one we have.
Yeah, that the main cover is really cool.
Neon-ish.
Yeah. There's Siphon, issue number 1, and it only had 1 cover. Moving to Marvel, we had no variant covers that were really available, but there are a couple of new series. We have Amazing Fantasy, issue number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries, and it has multiple covers.
This cover is really cool because it's just like, it looks so old.
Yeah, it's like pulpy.
Because
Amazing Fantasy is the...
Right.
Amazing Fantasy is the old, you know, Amazing Fantasy 15 is the first appearance of Spider-Man. So, like, this was one of the early Marvel titles. And it looks like they're repurposing the
Yeah, exactly.
Game, so.
I mean, it has the same kind of font, like the paintbrushed font. I mean, it's great. I love that cover.
It's a really cool cover. I think this next one is actually a one-shot, but it's Extreme Carnage Phage, issue number 1.
Not Pudge.
This has... Yeah, it's Phage. This has multiple covers. I didn't show the image of this, but if you get a chance, look at the Scotty Young cover for this issue. It's actually pretty funny. I read it after the fact. If I had seen it when I put these notes out there, I would have made note of it. But it's pretty good read. And then last but not least, we have Moon Knight, issue number one.
I like
this
cover. And
this has multiple covers.
That's
I like
an awesome
the main cover. Yeah. You know, I really almost put the spotlight on the John Romita Jr. cover because it's so awesome. But couldn't bring myself to do it. And then, let's see, last but not least, from Boom Comics,
we have,
I know.
If only everybody was perfect like us.
I know, right? No leniency for JRJR.
No.
So, all right, from Boom Comics, we have Dark Blood.
Just to let everybody know, you should have seen John's feet when we were in art in school. Not his actual feet, the ones he drew.
No, the feet I drew, yeah.
There's a reason he's selling the books.
That's right. That's right. I'm not drawing them. So it's me and Rob Liefeld.
But the good news is we both do know what's right and wrong. That's the problem.
Well, that's it. I may not be able to execute it, but I can recognize it when I see it. So
exactly.
It's the difference between what's in my head and what's on the page.
Yeah, that's not what I wanted to be down there, but oh well.
Everything looks perfect when I'm thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. So, that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part.
Yeah. All right.
We could
just looks
get
like
grades
that is it.
On our heads. Like,
that's right.
Swear, Mr. McPhee, it's in here.
In a couple of years, they'll be doing that. You won't even have to execute it. You just have to think about it, and the teacher will see it and give you a grade. So.
I don't think you want to give a grade on what is in my head.
No, I don't either.
John walks into the classroom. Ciccone, to the office.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm already in trouble. Yeah, the day they can start reading my thoughts, I'm in trouble.
Oh, you have to go to an all-boys school.
That's right.
All right. This last one?
Yeah, that is it. Yeah, that is
it
for FOC.
Oh, did you talk about Dark Blood?
I did, Dark Blood number one.
Okay. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, multiple covers.
Okay, cool.
I know, you were too busy talking.
Well, it is Bright Side Chat, not
too busy. Too busy making fun of my feet. So.
It's not Bright Side sit here and do nothing.
No, it's not. You're right.
Trying to bring something here.
I know.
All right. That's FOC. We did the diving board. We did the All right. You ready to get the checkout?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. What do we got up first this week?
First book is from Image Comics. It's Compass Number One. This is a 5-issue miniseries. It was written by Robert McKenzie and Dave Walker. Had art by Justin Greenwood. So this was kind of like Indiana Jones meets, I don't know, like 13th century British people.
this guy got nothing else. Indiana Jones meets.
I was trying to think of what it was crossing with.
It's not Indiana Jones. That's it.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was like an archaeological, mystery kind of
with a flashback,
double cross. So you've got this character, Shahida El Amin. And she's like the Indiana Jones, right? She's a scholar, cartographer, mathematician, explorer, you know. And she's out and she's, I guess, like hunting relics. And she runs into somebody that like normally helps her through these situations. And then all of a sudden in this particular occasion, the help is stopped. I guess the group that she works for is no longer in favor with the powers that be. And, she kind of gets double crossed and, has to make her escape from the situation. And like, she kind of goes into hiding a little bit, finds herself in Britain where, she's trying to, connect back with like a monk or a priest or somebody that she had dealings with. So, like I said, it was kind of like action adventure, mystery thing. And, like, it was okay.
I didn't think
it was great. And that's why I'm having a little bit of trouble talking about it.
Right.
Because
it was.
It just was okay. You know, it was.
I liked the beginning. I liked the opening. I thought it was a little bit of comedy there. The artwork, I thought, was okay for the story. Like, it moved the story along. But I thought it got too convoluted at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of it was okay. And I guess Justin Greenwood worked with, like, this says presented by Greg Rucka, but it wasn't actually written by him. So I guess he just kind of, like, oversaw the production of this. But Greg Rucka worked with Justin Greenwood on Stumptown. So I guess, you know, I never read Stumptown. I only watched, you know, I've only ever kind of watched the show. But yeah, the art was, it was just okay. Like, I didn't think it was great either. I kind of feel like when I got to the end of this, I may give it one more issue to see where it goes. But issue two will be the make or break for me, whether I go forward to all the way to the end or not.
I didn't really dislike it so much
that I don't want to read it, but
right.
I didn't love it either. So it was kind of just fine,
right?
You know, and
I didn't dislike it, but I'm not
will be the tell for me.
Yeah, I'm not seeking out two. So if you read it and it's good, I'll read it. So,
well, again, it's one of those things where reading issue two is no monetary commitment for me.
For you,
because I mean. Ultimately, it is because I've bought it for the store, but like I can just pick it up and read it.
And
I don't
sell
have to
it.
Go out and, yeah, I right. don't have to go out and put my money down on it. If I was buying like from your side of the counter, I don't know that I would go. I don't know that I would pick up number two. So, but I will read it and I'll let you know.
Excellent.
If I think it's worthwhile.
Excellent. So, all right.
Yeah.
Then let's get to this next one from Aftershock.
Yeah. So the next book is Seven Swords, number one. This is from Aftershock Comics. It was written by Evan Doherty, had art by Ricardo Mattina, cover art by Andy Clark. So I did not know before I read this that this was a Three Musketeers book.
Yeah, me either.
I was like all in the second I read Cardinal Richelieu.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is Three Musketeers. This guy must be D'Artagnan.
Yeah.
And like I was hooked.
Yep.
So I love the Three Musketeers.
Yep.
So like this book didn't even have to be great and I already liked it. You know what I mean? But all that being said, I thought the art was actually really good.
Yes.
I like the art a lot. And I like some of the other characters that we're going to meet that we didn't necessarily meet in this issue. But if you read kind of like the after pages, like the guy that like you meet like a cloaked figure and for several pages, but you don't actually know who he is. And then you find out at the end that it's Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yeah.
You know, and then like Don Juan is going to be a character here. But it's basically this takes place, I guess, some years after the events of the Three Musketeers. You know, Cardinal Richelieu, much like Emperor Palpatine, has purged the world of the Musketeers, and D'Artagnan is the Luke Skywalker of it all, and he's the last remaining Musketeer, and he's kind of been tasked.
It's amazing
to
the
put
similarities.
A team together. I know, right?
Old is the Three Musketeers story? Sorry.
Oh, it's like
centuries, isn't
1700s.
It?
Yeah. I would say, yeah. Yeah, it was written
shortly before George Lucas and Star Wars.
A little bit, yeah
just a little bit.
I would imagine it was a bit of an inspiration for him, because we know Lucas.
Did
took
we
a
just
lot
discover
of
that? I don't think that's ever been said before.
I don't know. Well, we know he took a lot of inspiration from like the Seven Samurai and a lot of those Japanese sword movies, and I can't imagine that Three Musketeers didn't also play some part in that.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I know. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, you have D'Artagnan who's trying to get the band back together, put a team together to confront Cardinal Richelieu and rid the world of his presence once and for all. You get to the end of this you know, before you finally see the Cardinal. And then, like, it looks like he might have some other stuff going, like some satanic cult ritual stuff going on.
Yeah.
Which was never really part of the story that I ever read or saw movies of. But it looks like we might be going there a little bit in this series, too. So,
I think that's what they're trying to do.
Like I said, I was all in on this as soon as I found out it was a Three Musketeers book. But I think I would have liked it anyways. Like, I think the art was good. The story was fun. It moved along at a good pace. Like I said, we met some cool characters. And
there's more
to come. I definitely
think
this. Yeah, I think this is a book you should pick up.
Really looking forward to
this. And definitely don't skimp on the end. Like, go through and read the the biography pages at
ages
the end.
Weights. It's pretty funny how they put, like, they don't say pounds, whatever metric they're
using.
French.
It's French. It's French.
Pretty cool.
It was really good. I really liked it a lot. Yeah.
Same here. Once you figure out it's a Three Musketeers story, I was like, oh boy, what I couldn't wait to say was it brought me back to remember when I was reading Lone Ranger.
Oh yeah.
It was like that. It's like I'm reading, I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. It's like I love the Three Musketeers. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, me too.
Seven Swords. There we go. That's the show title. Yep. There we go.
There you go. We called it.
Yep. All right. So what else is there? What else did you read this? Oh, let's just get right to it. I'm sure you did. Nightwing? What was it? 80?
I did read
81.
Nightwing, yes.
80, awesome.
Nightwing 81. Yeah, so last week we talked about it. We weren't sure if we were giving a little spoiler away.
It didn't spoil it for me. But
It was a major reveal at the end, although it wasn't the character we thought it was. So Heartless did not turn out to be Nightwing's sister, but the daughter there, Zuko's daughter, turns out to be at least
awesome
for now.
Yeah,
Nightwing's
sister.
But still,
sister. I love the story. I love the and it's funny. Here's I gotta say it this week because Dr. Joe and I were talking. I hadn't read it yet, right?
Right.
But I had just picked it up. Dr. Joe and I are talking about it. And I wanted to say this to you last week. It was like on the tip of my tongue. We were talking about books and Nightwing. And then we moved on to something else. But he said it in the store. It is Daredevil. This is what Zdarsky did with Daredevil. It's that good. It's that exciting. And it's playing out. And is this the third book or the fourth? But... is this the third?
Tom Taylor took over at 78, so this would be the fourth
issue.
This
is the fourth, so he's a book late.
Right.
But book three for Zdarsky was when we got the Spider-Man reveal, which was the boom.
Right.
That's when it – this to me right here is where it went bam. And it's not a big reveal of a character. It is kind of a character, but it's the storyline. It's how this is playing. I love it. And it is so much following the track of what Zdarsky did with Daredevil that it's so much fun. And it's a must read.
Yeah, it's great. Nightwing has been great. Like, I've always been a fan of the character and I've always liked the book. But this run that Tom Taylor is on for the last couple of issues has been fantastic. Yeah, and like I said, he's brought a lot of new things to a character that's 70 years old. I think this is becoming quickly like one of my most anticipated books every month. Like now I'll see Nightwing and it'll be one of the first ones I want to pick up, just like I do with Daredevil. Because it's just that good. It's really fantastic. And I hope she is his sister. Like I think that opens up so many cool stories, first of all, I love the fact that, like, he just got unmasked.
He
just got caught and got unmasked. It's like never happened in 70 years, but it happened all of a sudden. Like, usually they get caught and then the villains just, like, they have their code and they don't take their masks off.
So
I thought that was like surprising all on its own.
Right.
And then, that reveal at the end.
It was funny. Like he was as shocked as we are. He's like,
yeah,
because he wakes up and he's like, I don't have my mask on. I thought that was pretty cool. That was really cool. I don't know. That was a tangent we don't need to go down. But all right. Berserker. Did you read that?
I did read that, and I am going to, you know, all of a sudden it feels like we're promoting TLDR a lot, but I'm kind of now listening to it, and I agree with a lot of the things that they say. And
that's
I'm
not
gonna
a
agree
bad
with Dr.
thing.
Joe.
Yeah.
No, it's not, but I'm going to agree with Dr. Joe here as well, and I feel like issue 3 was a huge letdown from the first couple of issues. Like, it was just so repetitive, and like it told the exact same story as number 2
did. Number 2, yeah.
I heard him say that before I had a chance to read it, and then I read it, and I was like, yep. Exactly.
See,
it just didn't do anything. You know, it told the same story again. So I still like the series, and hopefully number 4 doesn't tell the story again. But I like the character. I like the series. But, yeah, I felt like number 3 was a step backwards. And number 4 has to do something to move the story forward for me. Otherwise, I may fall off. You know, it's got to do something better.
I won't fall off. See, the thing to me is where he's been around for so long. I'm wondering, I don't think it's a step backwards. I will go in the not opposite direction. I think it's a sideward step. I just think they're taking an extra issue to, because this is ongoing, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. So they're taking another issue just to tell the story that the turmoil that he went through when he was younger. And I do think that this advanced the story, but I also agree with you guys that it could have been done in one book.
I just feel like as consumers, we're owed more than that. Like, comic books aren't cheap anymore. You know, they're not 25 cents. They're $3.99 and $4.99. And if I'm going to plunk down my $5 for a comic, I don't want to read the same book twice, 2 months in a row.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing when you, like, retell somebody's origin 100 issues later. That's fine. But, like, I just read number 2.
Right.
You know, I didn't need to spend $5 to read it again for number 3. So I feel like it's predatory, you know, and it's like I think the storytellers owe the readers a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the comic book dollars can only spread so far. And, you know, I think, you have to get, I think every week or every month, you have to sell the reader on why your book was the best thing to buy. And, you know, comics don't always do that.
Yeah, I didn't look at it that way.
That's how I felt about it.
The way you put it, predatory, is kind of right. Is, you know, because it's a Keanu Reeves book. And it's almost like, yeah, well, hey, we could do this again and nobody would care.
Well, exactly.
You know, and you're right.
Keanu's name is going to get you a couple of extra issues just because.
Right.
You know, so I just don't think, you know, you should take advantage of that fact.
No. That's a good point. Like I said, I didn't look at it that way. I still enjoyed the story. I thought, and what I mean by, like, you could have done it in one book, it's like if you took the last few pages of this book and you put them at the end of book 2, there you go.
Right.
You've got the book.
You're right. That's all you had to do.
That's all you
Just
had
make
to do.
Number 2, like, 3 or 4 extra pages.
Yeah. I guess you're right on that point, but it's still, I enjoy the story, though. And so I can't say that it's... But I agree with you. So I don't want to beat a undead horse.
So, no, that's fine.
Time Before Time. Did you read that one? Time Before Time number 2.
I did.
The one where we're jumping around.
I guess it didn't really stick with me because.
Yeah, I read it last week.
I don't recall
it
too much. Like, I did read it, but I don't remember it all that well. So.
They're jumping around back and forth, and the FBI's involved, and they made a deal, you remember? And then at the end, there's kind of not a cliffhanger, but a backstabbing situation might be coming up soon. So, this one felt more to me like you felt about Berserker. This felt like the story was like, okay, they're jumping through time, they're doing this. But I did enjoy the story again, and it didn't really advance the story a ton from one to two, other than the fact that they're moving around through time, and you have the two entities, the syndicate and the I can't remember what the other one was, but they're backstabbing each other type deal. So
right,
two wasn't, again, that one I felt probably more like you guys with Berserker. Like I'll probably do three, but if three ends up like two, if I feel the same way, I'm probably done with that one. So we'll see.
Right.
We'll see. You know what I bought? I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Is Space Pirate Captain Harlock?
Oh yeah, I haven't read that either. Yeah, I haven't read that either. I did see it. I mean, I have it at the store, but
because
I didn't read it.
I was looking at it, and if the art in it looks like the same art from Star Blazers.
Well, because Captain Harlock is an anime character. Like, he's not a new character.
Right.
We mentioned this when we talked about FOC.
Okay.
Yeah, from one of the anime series. I'm not familiar with it, but...
Right.
But yes, it's definitely got that style, like you said, the old Star Blazers or Voltron or whatever we used to watch.
Like, the ships look like the same. I mean, I'm saying, like, I know it's, like, anime, but it's... It looks like Star Blazers. Like, this is somebody that they were...
And I loved Star Blazers.
I have it. I bought it.
I loved it.
I have it on, not disc, I have the digital copies. I love that show.
Right.
It's actually, like, we watched episodes, but when you buy it, you get, what, it's like three movies. It's like three different movies that are like 2.5 hours or whatever. They're crazy lengths.
Just all broken down.
Yeah, and then they broke down. Oh, it's so, I'll probably watch it tonight now that we're talking about it. I love that show.
Love that show.
But all right, that's about, excuse me, sorry. What else did you read this week?
The only other thing that kind of stood out, I just wanted to mention quickly, was the latest issue of Star Wars.
I didn't get to
I liked that. Well, not so much that I liked it, but you know, going back to like the Lando thing that we talked about when this run kind of kicked off, you know, like at the end of Empire Strikes Back, you know, Lando is not like everybody's favorite person, right? But
right.
Like by the time Return of the Jedi starts, everybody loves Lando. You don't know what happened in between until this series that we're reading now. And like this issue kind of brings it up again that like they're not too thrilled with Lando.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of tensions between him and Leia and him and Chewie still going on. And it's like they kind of find themselves, you know, this is a tie into the War of the Bounty Hunters. And so, you know, they've got word that, you know, Han, the carbonite block is going to be put up for auction and they're trying to make a plan to go in there and steal it. But they need Lando's help. But like they're not too happy to be dealing with Lando. And it's just like I find myself interested in that story, that sub story, I guess.
Right.
Because at some point before the end of this run, I think they're all gonna have to, like, something's gonna happen and they're all gonna like kumbaya and like be best friends.
Right.
But like right now they're not. So I just find that really interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, and we didn't talk about I read this a couple of weeks ago, finally, because it was one of the books that was late that got lost for me. But I read the first issue of War of the Bounty Hunters, and we never really talked about that. But you know, they brought Kira back. Like Crimson Dawn has Han right now, and so it's kind of like a pseudo sequel to Solo, because you know we might find out what happened with Kira and the Crimson Dawn and Maul and all that stuff. Well, we kind of know what happened to Darth Maul because we saw Rebels, but or Clone Wars, rather, whatever it was. But
it's hard to keep track.
Clone Wars.
Yeah,
it was the end of Clone Wars. But you know, we never knew what happened to Kira. We never really knew what happened to Crimson Dawn. I mean, Lando brought up Dryden Voss in this issue of Star Wars, so like, I think we might get some of that story that we're kind of, you know, we're really hoping to get in the sequel movie, but we might have to settle for getting it here in these comics. So I don't know. I just really liked this issue. I mean, nothing spectacular happened, but it was just those little subtle things that I enjoyed. So
cool.
Kind of wanted to mention that. Nothing else really stood. I mean, I read a bunch of stuff last week, but nothing really stood out outside of Nightwing and the Star Wars. So
All right. All right. Then are you ready to get to let's get to what we're looking forward to for next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to bring that up because we always forget it, but kind of our
and we
coming,
both remembered. Look at us.
Yeah, our plugs for next week. Good Luck, issue number one, is a new Boom Studios comic. So I'm looking forward to reading that. And then Spawn Universe number one from Image Comics, kicking off the whole new Spawn, you know, quote-unquote Spawn Universe that Todd McFarlane is launching this summer. This is just a one-shot issue that kind of sets the balls in motion. So I'm really cool. Looking forward to reading that. So,
all righty.
That
sounds
those
good.
Are the ones.
We'll check those out for next week. That'll be in next week's checkout, actually. See that?
It will, yes.
All right. Are you ready to get to Real World?
I am.
All right, John. What did you watch this week? What was on your screen?
I was going to say, pretty dull and quick one this week. It was Queen of the South. That's
nice.
All I watched.
Really?
We're into season three
us
now.
Too.
Really liking that show.
So is Jen.
A lot. Yeah, is she? I figured she would.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
how
she
far did you guys get
it.
With it?
We're a good ways into season one. We're going to watch a little bit more tonight. Jen's absolutely loving it.
I think last week when we talked, we were probably the same place you are, and then we plowed all the way into season three this week.
Yeah, so. it is really good. It's very entertaining. Just scary because it, you know what I said.
It is. Yeah.
You know what I said when it first started. We're into episode one. This isn't spoilers. It's literally how it opens up. You don't have to tell me what goes on. She's literally killed in like the first scene. So you're like,
right.
Now I don't.
Well, it's one of those shows where you get the end in the beginning and then like,
but do
so
you?
Far,
it's like,
well, so far each one of the seasons has started with like a flashback.
Yeah.
You know, she's made it to the top and she's looking back and then the season goes on from there. So yeah, I don't know if ultimately she's dead or not.
Right.
I haven't gotten
Is
to
that
the end
like
either.
A, is that a but, decoy? Is that you don't know? Right. But it's so good. And
but yeah, it starts out where she's like made it to the top of the drug business,
right?
But then all of a sudden, you know, you get into the episode and she's, you know, all the way back at the beginning,
right?
I don't always love when shows do that, but you kind of forget about as you start going on through it, you just forget about that, except for the fact that she. She's always
herself.
Kind of talking
to
right.
To
she sees her
right.
She sees her future self talking to her as she's making decisions at certain points throughout the season, which
right.
I think is pretty cool.
And I think that's why they had to
really,
do that.
Really cool.
That's why they had to do that. They show they show you kind of like the end game so that you can see what her motivation is. Like she's like you need to do that or whatever. It's like I mean she's almost talking to her own version of Obi-Wan, right?
Right.
Like sitting there like, oh, but one thing I like literally 20 minutes into this entire series. And I looked at Jen and I go, this feels like Ozark from Mexico. You know what I mean? Like at the beginning it was like, okay, so like the Ozark takes place. It's basically dealing with the drugs and everything up way up in the United States and how they get it. And now this is. The opening of this, it feels like they're dealing with, you know, that's the Mexican side of Ozark. But then it obviously goes on from there. But the entire, like, cartel story, the governments and everything, so good. It's so,
it's really,
Jen
really
loves
interesting.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, like
loves
I said,
it.
We've really just plowed, you know, we took
Very
a break
sad.
And watched. Oh,
if it's a reality, like, to think that this isn't like, that far from reality. I mean, there is
no,
a
it's
reality.
Not. It's not a fan. Right. It's not necessarily a fantasy story. Like these things happen. Just watch.
Awful.
You know. You've got El Chapo. You've got
all.
You know, Escobar. All these guys who have done all of these things. And it's, you're right. It's not that far from reality.
And the guy running for governor Remember him? And he was the drug guy from the Patriot Games.
Oh yeah.
Remember from with Harrison Ford. I think it was Patriot Games. It was one of those two that he was in. But
well,
yeah,
in,
he was
in
the drug cartel
two, you
guy.
Get the guy yeah, in season two, you get the guy that played like the best friend in Scarface, like Al Pacino's best friend there that dates his sister.
Oh, okay.
He shows up in season two of this show, and he's really – he's kind of off the wall, really cool.
Right.
But yeah, you know, we took a break and watched like the newest episode of Home Before Die. Like we stopped and watched a couple of one-episode things along the way, but we pretty much spent most of the week just watching watching this. Yeah.
Yeah, so. We did that one, and we started Selena.
Yeah.
As you know, I texted you.
Well, because you texted me the other day,
like,
so I wasn't sure if you...
I couldn't remember it, and then I actually, you know what I did while I was waiting for your reply? I went on to our show, and I was like, what is
it? Oh,
yeah, there it is.
Did you go back and listen
right,
to the show?
That's why when you told me, I'm like, yep, just got it. I'm like, I could either text him or actually listen to him.
Right.
But yeah, Jen's really liking that one as well. I like it too. Yeah. She likes it a lot more than I do. Not to say that I don't like it, but... Yeah, we're watching.
No,
so we're
but it starts. You know, it starts off at once you kind of move on from her being a little girl. Like you know, it starts at the very beginning. So it,
very
the
sad
story
as
really,
well.
Well, it's very sad, but the story really kind of starts taking off as she
gets
a little bit older. You know,
and, the father with the food.
But yeah,
stamps.
It's really good. Oh, that dad. Yeah, that dad is something else too.
It's like kids. So. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody has to ask for help sometimes. Now, check out, and I'll be in the car.
Right.
I was like,
which is exactly
oh,
what I would do that.
No.
You know?
Oh, my God. I can't believe they just did that. I was like,
oh, I would do that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I would, oh, man. So that's
but
where we're at.
Okay. I had a feeling I had a feeling Jen would like both of those. Maybe Selena more than you, so I was kind of right on with that.
Yeah. But, look at you.
I think as you go through it, you'll find yourself enjoying that a lot, too. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. You ready to get to this week's Bad Batch?
Sure.
All righty. What'd you think? I think this show's really picking up. I don't know.
I
if
do
it's,
too.
Because we're
I liked
so deep
it a lot.
Into the story now, but I think it's really picking up.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, we mentioned it before. This is going to be 16 episodes, so you know you're going to have some
halfway
ups and
through.
Downs.
Yeah,
yeah, you're going to have, but you're going to have some filler episodes along the way. But I don't think this was one of them. I think this one was actually pretty good.
Oh yeah.
You know, this one's all about Cad Bane, really. You know.
Well. I thought it was more about Crosshair, and then Cad makes the
true.
You know, he
I
makes
true,
the
but,
what do you call it? The cameo at the end. That was
right.
That was pretty cool. Where it just
but, you
pops
know, that,
in. And
yeah,
like,
he, just seeing him
and the
yeah,
the
just
music.
Seeing him again and yeah, yeah. You know, he was a really cool character from Clone Wars. So yeah, it was nice to see him in again. But you know, now you've got your second bounty hunter who's been sent after Echo. So not Echo, Omega.
Omega.
So you know you're like, well, who's behind this? Like, who's hiring these guys? Because you know, first you had Fennec, and she was not successful in capturing Omega. And now this week we had Cad Bane, who at least for the time being, you know, was successful in capturing Omega. I'm sure they'll get her back, but yeah, I'm really interested to know who's pulling the strings there.
Right.
Is it just the Kamino? You know, maybe it's just the Kamino, the Kaminians or whatever. Kaminoans, however you say
it. The El Kaminos.
Yeah, the El Kaminos. maybe it's the Kaminoans. Maybe it's just Lama Su or whatever her name is there. But there could be more to it than that.
Yeah.
So I'd be really interested to see what's going on.
It was
on
cool
there,
to
but...
see Bane, Cad Bane in the duel.
Yeah.
Have you seen the duel with him and Boba Fett? That's how did you know? Do you know the story behind that? Right, the dent in
no,
his
was
helmet.
That in the show?
No, it hasn't been out. But it,
oh,
you
oh,
can,
oh, yeah, the dent. Right, the dent in his helmet is supposed to have been from Cad Bane,
and that's how Cad Bane gets killed. Spoilers,
right?
But that's it's actually out. You can Google it. look it up on YouTube, and you can see it's kind of a raw footage, but there is a video out there of Cad Bane, the duel between the two of them, and Bane goes down, and Bulba gets the dent in his helmet from the blaster. So that's pretty. And then to see how good Cad Bane is in this episode,
because obviously, like, Hunter was no match for him. So
right,
which I thought was
cool. I thought the other thing I thought was really cool was Crosshair's getting a little bit of the Vader treatment there. He's like all like done up and whatever. He took the jet engine to the face, the ion engine to the face.
Right.
So almost didn't survive. So yeah, I the story, it's like, I think that's the thing, is now we're deep into the season, midway point really. Right. And every week you're like, you want more story, and we're getting it. So really enjoying that. So
It was really good. It's really good episode. I enjoyed it.
Cool. All right. Is that it? I think that's it.
Do we have
anything else? We'll do a little kryptonite on Loki. Have a little fun with that. Talk some spoilers there. But that'll do it for this week. Nice. A little short show there. Only an hour and just over an hour and a half or whatever.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Look at that. I'm going to get to I'm smoking some ribs, John.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Never done it before.
Get to your ribs a little early.
Get to them a little early.
I know. Well, so. I got a smoker for Father's Day.
Lydia bought
me a smoker. Yeah. Well, she said, you know, what do you want for Father's Day? And, you know, I typically say nothing because I don't want anything, because I buy whatever I need, you know.
Exactly.
Like, I never really want or need anything. So I was like, you know, I don't need anything. I just, you know, want to spend the day with you and go to dinner, you know, and all that. She says, well, you know what I want? I want to buy you a smoker so you can smoke me a brisket. And I was like, oh, so.
So you want a brisket.
You want to buy me a smoker, right?
Right.
So I can learn to smoke. So I've never smoked a brisket. I guess I'm going to learn how to do that. So.
Yeah.
So I got that for Father's Day.
We went to my brother's house. I almost said brother-in-law's. We went to my brother's house for Father's Day, and he did a cookout thing, and we all brought stuff. And my brother-in-law had smoked some ribs, and then Mikey, my brother, put them on the grill just to warm them and everything, and they were so good. So I was talking to my other brother-in-law. I'm like, I got to get a smoker. And he goes, oh, I just use this. And he showed me the grill he uses. It's a Weber grill, a charcoal grill. Nice one.
Right.
And I go, that's the same grill I have. And he goes, then you already have a smoker. And he goes, this is how you do it. And I'm like, all right. So I'm doing that today. I went out and I bought the chips. I bought the, you know, the wood chip, hickory chips. I bought some, the right charcoal that he said to get. I'm like, oh, it's going great so far. So they will have been smoking for about 6 to 8 hours, something like that, by the time we get to them. So I'm looking forward to that and see how it goes. See how that goes. Maybe, I guess with a smoker, it's a little easier, though, because you can just set it and forget it. I've really got to maintain it. So,
okay.
But I got it playing on my app here. I'm monitoring the temperature because I got the little sensor.
Oh, nice.
It's funny because I was texting my brother-in-law, Justin, and I'm like, he goes, oh, I have the little sensors and the eye grill sensors and everything. I go, right. I do too. I go, you and Don gave it to me years ago. So I went into the cabinet, broke it out, and I'm like, stuck it in there. I'm like, there you go. And it goes right to your phone through the Bluetooth so I can monitor what the temperature of the grill is. So it's pretty cool. Lots of fun.
Technology.
So there goes our nice, tight, short show.
I know.
All right. That'll wrap it up. So you can, in the meantime, before next week, you can talk to us on Twitter at @brightside_chat, or you can reach John directly at @ArkhamComics with an X. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com, or you can check us out on the Nerdy Legion with all the other great podcasts there. That's pretty cool. Or you can go to YouTube and hit subscribe. Really appreciate that. We only have 18 subscribers. We're hoping to get to 20. Maybe we will. Maybe not. Who knows? Who cares? I don't care. Let's get to kryptonite. Have a good week, everybody. Goodbye.
All right.
Hey, Fred. All right, John, is that door locked?
It is locked.
Nice. Look at that. Oh, weeks and weeks
just
of rehearsal.
Like we drew
We're
it up.
Nailing it. Nailing
I
it.
I know it.
Woo! All right. Loki. Loki episode 2. I feel like we're like 4 episodes in. There's only 6 episodes. But yeah. To your point, they're a lot more progressed in this episode. It feels like we got a lot more. Jump right to it. We were all speculating last week. Are we going to get Lady Loki? Are we not? When are we going to get her? Bam. Got her.
Yeah,
that
I know. It was funny
because didn't take long.
I was listening back to the show like on Thursday. And
right.
I had watched Loki Wednesday night.
Right.
And I told Lydia, I was like, well, I was pretty right on because like all the stuff I speculated, there it is. But yeah, you know, obviously at the end, we see what we assume is Lady Loki. The reason why I say assume is I'm pretty sure that it is, but there's been some speculation and I had some conversations this week that it could possibly be Enchantress. And Enchantress does play pretty large in Asgard and, you know, in the Thor stories. So there is a small chance that it could be Enchantress. Because and the only reason why I kind of can think that it may be is if you think back to kind of like the showdown that Loki was having with her in the store, in the big Walmart there.
Yeah.
And at first glance, I thought that it was her like shape-shifting into all these different forms.
But she's no
throughout
she's,
the end. But she wasn't.
She was tapping him.
She was tapping him, and that's not what Loki does. Loki's a shapeshifter.
Right.
Enchantress would enchant people, and
exactly
because you know she was kind of off to the background the whole time, sending these people to deal with Loki. So I'm kind of on the fence. Like it might be. You know, we were told up front that they were hunting a variant Loki, but maybe they're wrong. You know.
Well, well, no, maybe they still are. This is just somebody else they're dealing with right now, or they're right. not. You know, or I don't know. Maybe is it possible that they thought it was Loki or a Lady Loki? But Enchantress got to Lady Loki.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe. Like, maybe yeah. what we saw was Enchantress, maybe what we saw was Lady Loki through Enchantress. You know what right. I mean? Because, like you said, like, they didn't, they even said I didn't make note of it, but you make note of it because they made you make note of it. Are they dead? Well, typically, no, they don't die. You know what right. I mean? Like, so you knew that they could be taken over. They drop. Doesn't mean they're dead. They just passed out. Right. So
right.
if Enchantress was to take over Lady Loki, that or Loki in whatever form, then, you know, he or she would be able to move on and not have died. So I thought that was a notable moment when they tell you like right there, like, okay, so. They're telling us that for a reason so that characters can keep coming back even though they've been, quote, enchanted.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I thought that was I didn't really think of that as I was watching the episode. I just kind of followed with everybody else and said, oh, it's just Lady Loki. But after the fact, I guess it was the next, well, maybe Friday, I guess I was talking with some people at the store and then different things pop up online. And I was like, well,
yeah,
could be. So I guess we'll find
yeah.
out. But well, I mean,
didn't
other
we
than
say
that,
one
you know,
of the books
like,
popped up this week too, right? We were talking about that in one of our books this week in Speculator. Not Speculator, but
well,
in
right.
Back Issue.
Yeah, that's
has
what I'm saying.
Enchantress
they talked about
up.
Enchantress. And that's why I wanted to I knew we would bring that up when we talked about Loki.
Right.
But yeah, obviously it's out there. Like that is the speculation. Could turn out to be completely untrue next week or, well,
yeah.
today.
See WandaVision.
yeah. And then
things didn't work
you know,
out.
Could drop, right. That book right. could drop back down to nothing again. But.
Well, if things hold true, as people are listening to this, they've probably already seen Loki and they're like, yeah, it was Enchantress.
Yeah.
Just like last week, Enchantress.
I mean, I think it's Mephisto, to be honest with you, but.
The entire thing?
yeah. It's all Mephisto.
Yeah, yeah. So, back to WandaVision.
Yeah.
But I do like where the story slowed down a little bit. I love the part where now we're getting Loki. This is the character-driven part where we're seeing Loki actually put in some work, actually sitting right at the desk, actually doing the research. And you get to see how smart he is. For him to be able to figure out and track it down, to do something that the entire, you know, Time Bureau or whatever.
Basically, yeah, the TVA hasn't been able to
do. They can't figure it out. Right. And he's, you think, do you see, like, I'm not sure people, or do you understand how smart Loki is that the TVA has literally been around forever because they're in charge of forever. Like all of time. So they have all of time and nobody had figured out that a variant could hide where there is no variant. Like everybody died. Everybody's going to die. So no matter what you do, what you say, it will not live on past this point. And he figured that out just by sitting
down.
Which
I thought was awesome, by the way. Just the idea of that. Not that he figured it out, but the idea
of
like
that he figured it out.
Basically hiding in the, well, I like that too, but I thought the idea was great, you know, you could hide in the disaster, and and like he does, they go back to Pompeii, and he like,
I know,
tells everybody they're about to die, you know.
And they're all like, what? Oh. And and it's not going to live on. Nobody's going to be able to tell that story and document it in history, so nothing changes.
Right.
I thought it was great.
Pretty
he
awesome.
Kicks over the car, and he's dancing. He's like, I'm from the future.
Yeah,
and I love in the middle of his little rant, he's like, I'm from the future. We are from the future, aren't we? Where are we from? Where is it? Because they're from forever.
Right, they don't know. Right,
Are you from the future, the past? Are you starting out and you're watching the... Who knows? You don't know. Right. There is no present to them. They're everywhere. It's crazy. Right. And just those little lines like that are crazy. Like, imagine that. Like, what's the present? Well, the entire timeline's my present. What?
Right.
You're just watching. It's crazy.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, I don't know. I think Owen Wilson's great. Like I love the kind of the buddy cop vibe that the two of them have.
Yes.
I don't know. Like I said, I thought this episode.
What about was that?
I don't want to say it redeemed itself because like it didn't need to be redeemed. Like it was already a good show.
Yeah.
To me, this episode just made it better. I don't know. It made it better for me.
How about when Owen Wilson goes into what's her name? The boss. Right?
Yeah.
And says to her, like, look, if things don't work out, I'll shoot them myself.
I'll delete them myself.
Right? And then he steps outside the room, basically saying, like, I'll get him to do whatever I need to get him to do. If it doesn't work, I'll delete them myself. Steps outside the room, and he gives Loki two versions.
Right.
And then he goes, either I think you're that valuable and blah, 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 and all this. And I feel, that's what it was. I feel sorry for you because I see that little boy. I see all this. He goes, or I'm just telling you whatever I need to tell you to get you to do what I want you to do.
Right.
And what does Loki say? He goes,
I don't
feel sorry for me. He thinks it's the other one. When in actuality, we know, he's like, no, I'm lying. I'll tell him whatever I need to tell him. But I thought it was kind of sad in a way, too, because Loki's like, he's thinking the best. And it's like, for somebody that's supposed to be a villain and supposed to be deceiving everybody, you would think, because you think like other people think, or you think other people think like you, right?
Right.
So why isn't he thinking like, why are you lying to me?
Right, don't assume the worst, assume the best.
He actually is assuming he think right.
He's right, don't assume the best. Yeah.
Assume the worst, and he's not. Right. He's thinking the best. He's like, "Oh, you feel sorry for me. Isn't that nice?" No, he doesn't.
Right.
I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was great. And it's little things like that and Loki being like smart and actually digging into the work and what was it? You're not sure which way he's going. It's really, really, really good. That's why I said, I'm like, not as much action, but the story is just so great. And how this is going to, just like all three of, well, this is the third series we're getting, but how are they affecting the MCU? And they're all altering it and expanding it at the same time. It's pretty cool.
Well, and like I said,
altering our perception, like I said earlier
in the show, like what happens to this Loki at the end of the season drastically alters the MCU, I think. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like, do they delete him, or does he successfully capture himself and they let him live? And if they let him live, what are the implications of that? Like, he's useful to the TVA right now because they need him to hunt himself. But their core mission is to delete variants. So,
right. And what's funny is,
or does he get to live outside of time, and does he just join the TVA?
Exactly. Because there's like still the other Loki going on. Because they went back. Right. They set off their little time bomb. That's pretty funny. Right. I just thought of that. It's a time bomb. So it takes
bomb.
Yeah. So the real timeline that we know of the MCU is still going on, right? So Loki's going through his thing. He's doing his thing with his mother. They took him out of it. Now they have him there, and they have to delete him. They have to. That's the sad truth. It's like they don't take you and put you back because you're a variant. You're not supposed to exist. Your knowledge.
But I think
is
he could live. He could live in the TVA though.
Correct,
because they're kind of outside of time,
and
so like, does this just become like a Turner and Hooch type of series where it's just like
he
just gets to be the cop?
Well, yeah. No, but here's the other thing: do we find out what's his name? What's Owen Wilson's Modus? Is it not
Mobius?
Mobius.
Yeah.
I thought that was somebody else for some reason, but Mobius.
Well, there's Morbius, which is the vampire.
Yeah. That's why I was like Mobius. But anyways. Do we find out that all of the or a lot of these agents are former people like Loki?
Yeah, maybe they're all variants.
Maybe they're all former variants that worked out that want to stay.
I don't know, because the only reason why I think maybe no is that if they were all former variants themselves, they might have a little bit more sympathy for the variants.
True,
you know.
True. Well, maybe that's
but
why
they don't.
that's why Mobius does have sympathy for, because he does think he's an asset. He's the only one.
He does.
So maybe Mobius.
But he's also
is
at
like
the end
that.
Of the day, I do believe that Mobius would delete him if it doesn't work out. Like,
correct.
He's an asset as long as he's useful.
Right.
So.
Right.
You know.
Yep. Yeah. It's. I mean, I think we'll see. Like, where do those people come from? How do you get a job with the TVA? How do you? It's like.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, what were you born into? Like, where do you come from? That is a question, right? Are they created by the Time Lords to be agents? Like,
birds
where
and
do
the
they
bees,
come
John.
From? Yeah. The chicken or the egg? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a huge chicken and the egg story.
Maybe they've died and ascended. Like, who knows? Like where did they come from? So
Jen and I had a chicken and eggs conversation the other day. It was funny. I go, it has to be chicken came first. And she goes, why? Well, because who would have hatched the egg? I'm like, the egg can't survive without the chicken. And she goes, but you
can't hatch on its own, right?
Exactly. If you just made an egg, what is it going to be? It just doesn't. Right.
Well, maybe it was just in the sun.
Exactly. For the exact amount of time.
Yeah. The hot pavement. the hot pavement tracked the egg.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But anyways, hey, we're sitting here talking about something that's going to take place in a mere 10 hours from now.
Yeah.
8 hours.
Well, as you're hearing this, you could have already watched it.
Right. Actually, as I'm hearing this again, when I listen to it back, I will have already watched it. So I'll be yelling at us like I often do.
Yeah.
But all right. Anything else notable from episode 2?
I don't think so.
All right. That will
Owen
do it
Wilson
for this
needs
week.
A jet ski.
Yes. Yes. I love that. That was funny.
Get that man a jet ski.
And you know what's funny? That is notable. That is pretty funny because it's like until he had explained what a jet ski was and said, like, why do you have this magazine? It was like, well, there was this time in the 90s. And you're like, you're right. When was the last time you heard a jet ski commercial? Or anything.
Yeah, it's been,
nothing.
Yeah, it's been forever.
Right? It was a fad that went away. I remember riding on a jet ski. I almost killed my buddy on one. But love jet skis.
Who delivers that magazine to the TVA?
You know? Or do they just go get it? They go back to the 90s
they must,
and get
everyone. Yeah,
they get whatever they want. And are they ever late?
They can't be.
They can't be. They're
they arrive precisely when they mean to.
When they mean to.
Like Gandalf.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's Gandalf. I was like, where do we know that?
A wizard is never late.
Exactly.
Or early.
He arrives exactly when he means to. So there you go. So yeah, the TV, you can't be late. So.
Nope.
All right. All right. That'll do it. We will be back next week, I'm sure, with more Loki talk, and we'll talk about you've already seen. See, as you're listening to this,
we'll talk about the past some more.
I know this podcast is a time warp. All right, we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Or you can go to YouTube and hit subscribe. Really appreciate that. We only have 18 subscribers. We're hoping to get to 20. Maybe we will. Maybe not. Who knows? Who cares? I don't care. Let's get to kryptonite. Have a good week, everybody. Goodbye.
All right. Awesome. That was great.
You're supposed to say live long and prosper.
I think that's run its course.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. All right. Good night. Bye night. Good night. Good night. Good night. All right.
Good night. Bye-bye and bye bonds.
We're still stalling. Shut up!